All right, welcome to the show. WSJU Radio, St. John's University Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max. We have the one and only ESPN, Rich Simini. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Been reading your articles for years, covering my favorite football team, the New York Jets, which has also been a devastating team for years now. But hopefully there's an end at the light of the tunnel.
I wouldn't have guessed that you're a Jet fan.
I've been a Jet fan since I could walk. I remember my first jersey with John Abraham. That was my first Jet jersey.
I just talked to him a few months ago. Not a few months ago. Maybe about eight or nine months ago. John Abraham. He's a good guy.
Yeah, should have never let him go. But that's the typical Jets.
They have a tendency to let their former first round picks go. But yep. You know, that's a trend that's been happening for a while.
Oh yeah, but Jamal Adams was needed. But Robbie Anderson was something that really angered me because I saw that. The GM, Joe Douglas, he misread the free agency market on Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, I think they thought he was going to go for a lot more. And, you know, he went for 2 years, $20 million. And somehow there was a miscommunication there. And I think he learned, a hard lesson by it because he was a good player. And you saw him play really well for the Panthers this year.
Yeah, it's just a shame. And maybe they get Robinson from the Bears in free agency. Do you think that's where they should go, the Jets, as far as free agency as a receiver? Or should they draft one at the second pick with Devontae Smith, Chase from LSU?
Yeah, they're going to have to make a decision. I think it all stems with the quarterback decision because they can obviously get a really good receiver in the draft if they want to go that route. But, if they trade Sam Darnold, they're going to have to probably draft a quarterback. So I think they'll sign a receiver in free agency either way. I don't know if Joe Douglas does not like to spend like really big money. Allen Robinson's going to cost, probably 18 to 20 million a year. I have a hard time seeing Joe Douglas do something like that. I think you're probably going to look for more something in the middle class of wide receivers.
Yeah, that's the thing about Douglas that I don't like is that he doesn't like spending a lot of money. The thing about Maccagnan, he would spend all the money in the world, but it'd be on the wrong players. As an example, is Tremaine Johnson.
Tremaine Johnson, Darrell Revis.
Yep, Cromartie.
He gave Mo Wilkerson that contract extension. So there was a lot of misspent money for sure. But, I think Joe's way is probably better because you don't want to build a team on free agents. That's just not the way to do it. I mean, you look at Tampa Bay. I mean, granted, it was a free agent who got them to the Super Bowl was Tom Brady. Yeah. But, I mean, like 11 of their top – 8 of their top 11 guys on defense were drafted in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what Joe Douglas's model is. And I agree with that. You build through the draft and then you're supposed to supplement with free agency, fill in the spots with free agent signings. I do think he'll spend more than he did last year. Last year was very conservative.
Yeah.
But this year I think he'll open. They actually have the lowest cash payroll in the league right now.
That's not good. Especially with the pandemic, it cut everyone's cap.
Yeah. They got to spend. The market is going to be flooded with players because half the teams in the league are over the cap. So they're going to be cutting players and there's going to be a saturation of free agents and it's going to be a buyer's market. So the Jets should be able to, pluck off, maybe one or two reasonably high priced players.
Yeah. I think the Jets' main issue is that they don't have enough scouts or the scouting department isn't great over in that area because they never attain those draft picks. You see all the draft picks that they've had over the years, the majority of them are busts or they've left. That's the thing. The Jets needed better scouts and they need to scout players well. I think with the second first round pick they had, they should go at Harris or Etienne out of Clemson. They need that running back.
Yeah. I'd be a little surprised if they go with a running back. Joe Douglas does not value that position like most GMs don't.
Yeah.
So I think if you watch Joe's moves very carefully, you'll see a trend. There are certain positions he puts a value on. Quarterback, obviously, left tackle, wide receiver, cornerback, and defensive line. I think you're going to see not safety. We saw that already. That's one of the reasons why they traded Jamal Adams. That's not a premium position. So I think if you follow that closely, I think you can kind of figure out what he's going to do.
Yeah. I hope he makes some great decisions. I think he will moving forward because everyone has their trust in him. Realistically, next season, do you see Sam Darnold being the starting quarterback of this football team? Because I haven't been a fan since we drafted him. I was a big Baker Mayfield guy. I wanted him to trade up for him. Everyone said that I was nuts. But look what he's done for Cleveland over there. I was not a big fan of Sam. Do you see him being the starting quarterback next season for the Jets?
That's really hard to say. I mean, I go back and forth on that. You know, the fact that they're listening to inquiries right now suggests to me that probably not.
Thank the Lord.
You know, when a team is listening, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
And if they're listening, they're obviously not sold on him because they have yet, we've asked them numerous times publicly and they've not committed to him. So when a team doesn't commit to a guy like that, then you know something's up.
Yeah.
So I think they're doing their homework and seeing if there's anything better out there. And I was a Sam fan when they drafted him. I thought it was a good pick. I thought it was a good trade. And it hasn't worked out for a lot of reasons. We could talk all night about the reasons. I still think he has talent. I think he's probably better off in a different situation. But it's hard to say right now. I'd probably lean a little more towards him being replaced than staying right now.
Yeah. I think we should move on. It's best because I gave him benefit of the doubt, as I do every quarterback that comes into this organization, except for Christian Hackenberg, and thank God he's gone. Sam Darnold, I would be happy if he's off the team next year. I'd love to move forward with Watson if we could get him for the right price. I don't want to give up the total draft capital because Joe Douglas doesn't spend a lot in free agency, so it's right to build around him with the draft picks and maybe even draft Zach Wilson.
Yeah, the Deshaun thing is going to be interesting. I don't think anything's going to happen until, you know, the week of the draft. That'll be a pressure point. And then you're going to see what Houston's really thinking. They're telling everyone they're not trading him right now. I really don't think he's going to end up with the Jets. I'd be really, really surprised if that happened. And it's not because of him not wanting the Jets. I just don't think Joe Douglas is going to give up the store.
Yeah.
You know, three first round picks and a couple of good defensive players, you know, for one player. So that's why I've felt that way from the beginning. It's just not a Joe Douglas kind of move, you know? Yeah. I think if they trade Sam, it's because they really, really like one of the quarterbacks in the draft. That would be the reason they trade him.
Multiple teams are contacting the Jets over Sam and hopefully they ship him out and get some draft capital back. I heard that they could get second round picks for him, a late first rounder. So I hope, let's see what they do in the upcoming week, especially near the draft. I think they should trade him, get some draft capital back, and then just move forward. It's time to move forward. He brought a new coach in here now. Let's see how things move forward with this team. But I brought you on to not only talk about the Jets, everyone wants you on to talk about the Jets, of course, but for people to learn more about you, going to Syracuse University, getting a degree in journalism, and you also teach sports journalism at Syracuse. Just get into all that, your journey throughout college and becoming a journalist and teaching sports journalism at Syracuse.
Yeah, that just started 3 years ago, the teaching part. So it's fun. It's a spring class. It really doesn't even start till April. It's a one credit class. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to doing that. Had to do it virtually last year, which kind of sucked. But hopefully this year we can do it in person and I'll get a chance to go up there. I've had some great students. I still keep in touch with a lot of students. I went to Syracuse. I knew what I was very lucky. I knew what I wanted to do at an early age and was able to, make it happen. And from Syracuse, I grew up on Long Island and went to Satcham High School. I got a job at Newsday right out of college, which was very, very fortunate. I actually had an internship at Newsday during my, before my senior year of college. So that kind of got my foot in the door. And then after graduation, I got hired by Newsday. I spent, 11 years there? Yeah, 11 years at Newsday. And I was very happy, never wanted to leave. I grew up reading the paper. And then I got an offer to work at the Daily News, which was, I took the offer and I worked there for 14 years. Mm-hmm. And never really wanted to leave. I was very happy there, but then ESPN came along and made an offer that I really couldn't refuse, as they said.
The Godfather.
And, you know, it'll be 11 years in April that I've been at ESPN.
Was this the team that you always wanted to write for, the New York Jets? Was this your dream team?
No, not at all. I mean, I really didn't have a team. Like, I started off, I was really on the track. I covered St. John's basketball, actually.
Oh, you did? Wow. Yeah,
for when I was at Newsday, I was covering St. John's 1 year. And I mean, we're going way back, you know, to like the, I forget who was on it. It was after Walter Berry. It was that.
Was Jason Williams on the team?
No, I didn't cover. Oh, he might have been. What was the guards? They had a very good guard from New York City. I mean, I know they've had a lot of them, but.
Was it Malik Sealy?
Yeah, kind of around that era. Yeah. Boot Harvey, maybe. So I covered St. John's for a year, and they lost in the tournament that year. I forgot where I was. Maybe it was Salt Lake City or somewhere. I went to cover that game. You know what? I think it was Malik Sealy. You're going back a ways. But so I thought I'd be doing college basketball. That was really my first love. And then just something opened up at Newsday. You know, I did some backup. I did covered the Jets like as a backup guy. Mm-hmm. And Peter King, who worked at Newsday at the time, you probably know him. He does NBC Sports now. Yeah. We used to be with Sports Illustrated. He was at Newsday. And when he left to go to Sports Illustrated, it created a domino effect. And so everybody moved up a spot. And then they had an opening on the Jets beat. And they said, Rich, do you want to cover the Jets? And I said, sure, I'll cover the Jets. That'd be great. And so I started covering the Jets. And I've been covering them ever since, you know, for three different media outlets.
Yeah. What's crazy and what people may not know about me is that actually before I went to St. John's, I was a big Syracuse fan. I was a big fan of Melo because I'm a Knicks fan as well, sadly. Yeah. But I loved watching Michael Benajay, Malachi Richardson, yeah, Leiden. That Syracuse team, when they went to the Final Four, I was a huge fan that year.
I covered the Syracuse team that won the national championship with Melo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was in 03 in New Orleans. And so when they beat Kansas on a nail biter, and very good team with Jerry McNamara and Melo, and of course, Hakeem Warrick, who saved the game at the end with a block shot. I remember talking to Melo in the locker room after the game and asking him, you know, are you going to come back? Are you going to turn pro? And, you know, kind of said, well, I haven't made up my decision yet. And I could just tell by the smile on the face that that was the last we were going to see of Melo. He did bring us a national championship. So that's good enough for me.
Yeah. I hope St. John's eventually gets one. I don't know. They're playing well now.
Playing better. Yeah.
They're playing very well now. And something with journalism, what's some advice that you could give to the fellow journalists up here at St. John's University to become a great journalist in sports?
Yeah, just keep doing it. I mean, like it's like with anything else, like if you're playing sports, if you're playing golf or you're playing basketball, whatever you do, you just got to play. You know, you got to get reps at what you're doing. If you want to be a radio host or a TV, you know, a sports anchor, the only way you're going to get better at it is to get reps in front of the camera, in front of a microphone. And so for me, it was just getting reps writing stories and just keep writing. For my advice to journalists, write for the school paper, write for your local paper at home, even if they don't pay you, which is what I did, the local paper, a weekly paper when I was in high school. I used to write my ass off and I probably worked 40 hours a week at that paper. And initially they were not paying me. I was doing it, you know, for quote unquote, internship experience until another local paper made me an offer. And then all of a sudden they started paying me. But that's how it goes in the business. But, you know, just keep at it, you know, and just, you kind of have to live it. You know, you have to be totally immersed in it 24/7 and can't be like you can't just turn on a switch on and off and say, well, you know, for 2 hours a day, I'm going to, you know, practice journalism. You can't really do that. You have to be kind of insane. You know, it has to be almost a borderline obsession. And that's kind of what I've been doing for a long time. Mm-hmm.
In your entire career of covering the New York Jets, the Jets have not had one Super Bowl appearance. They've been in a few championships. What do you believe was the closest year that they could have won? Was it when they had Vinny Testaverde in 98, when they played the Denver Broncos? Was it when they had Mark Sanchez and they played against the Colts in 2009, 2010, they played the Steelers? What was the year that you believe they were going all the way?
The 98 team with Vinny, you know, they're up 10-0 in the third quarter. Yeah. And, we're in Mile High in Denver. And I turned to my colleague at the Daily News, Gary Myers. And I said, Gary, I don't believe it. The Jets are going to the Super Bowl. And maybe I jinxed it. I don't know. We know what happens next. You know, Denver scored, 23 unanswered points or something like that. Yep. And the Jets lost. That was as close. I thought they were going that year. They had a really – and they would have won the Super Bowl too. They would have been in Atlanta. The Jets had a really good team. Yeah. They were really well coached. I mean, their coaching staff was like a who's who of coaches and Parcells, and that the look on Parcells is after the game. I talked to him in the locker room after that game, and I mean, he was almost so shell-shocked by that loss. I mean, he was having a hard time even like forming words. He was just so devastated by it. And I think if you ask him, I know I've asked Curtis Martin this question, and he agreed. He said it's the worst loss he's ever suffered in his career. And you know, Curtis and Bill have both lost Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But they say that game really sticks with them. You know, that was the one that got away.
Does a new coach, Robert Saleh, have any traits similar to Bill Parcells? Because Bill Parcells was a great coach.
Bill was a great coach. Bill was a great coach the moment he walked in the door, because he had done it before, you know, had won two Super Bowls with the Giants, and he took the Patriots to a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And then there was just an instant – it was like the guy rode in on his white horse, and you could just feel the difference in the building. I mean, and I remember the look on some of the guys. I don't know, this is going before your time, but maybe you'll know because you're such a big Jet fan. Like Parcells' first game in 97 was at Seattle. Mm-hmm. Remember, they were 1-15 the year before. They were a laughing stock. And so they go out to Seattle and they beat Seattle. I think it was 42-7 or 42-3?
Yeah, I actually have the 1998. I have this VHS tape that I had at my local library, and it covered the whole 98 year, and it lists the win-loss record. And it was a freak year for the Jets. Very rare.
Yeah, so I was like, the look of, like, at that moment, I knew Parcells had the team in the palm of his hand, because they, you know, he was preaching to them all summer what they could do, and then they went out and blew out a pretty good team on the road. And you could just see it in the players' faces, like they were believing. And so Robert Saleh has a good track record as an assistant coach, you know, but he hasn't done it yet as a head coach. I think he has a lot of positive qualities, especially his ability to connect with people, which is something I think they really need. And by people, I mean with players mostly. Yeah. And of course, you know, the fans too. I think the fans want to have that connection that they never had with Adam Gase. And so I a lot of positive qualities. He was the guy who I had number one on my list when the Jets began the whole search. Now, I don't think the Jets took my advice and said, we got to hire Saleh because Rich has him number one. But that was, you know, from talking to people around the league, he was the guy who, to me, had the best credentials. And, you know, good for the Jets. They hired him. And so let's see, you know, every coach needs players. Look at Todd Bowles. Now he's a genius. You know, he won a Super Bowl as defensive coordinator. He's got great players. With the Jets, he had crappy players.
Yeah, Buster Screen.
he was a bad coach. So.
Yeah. Oh, it was horrible. Those were the brutal years. And I hope things get better. I think things will get better with the new coach. He's respected around the league. I saw your Twitter a few minutes ago. As you said, Richard Sherman still wants to play 2 years. I think it's a lock. He comes to the Jets. He loves Robert Saleh. Yeah, I think it's going to be perfect.
About a lock. I mean, I think
you don't think so.
I think he could end up with the Raiders too. You know, because he knows
Gus. That's interesting.
Defensive coordinator there. So yeah, I wouldn't say a lock. You know, but potential.
It's potential. The thing that scares me is that he's over 30. I want to build a young team.
Yeah, I think he's going to be 32. He's coming off an injury. I mean, when he's healthy, he's a really, really good player. You know, I think probably a Hall of Fame worthy player in that, especially in that scheme. I mean, he's not. I think Jet fans have to get used to the idea that, you know, they're changing schemes now, and it's not going to be as much man coverage as they used to play. You know, they're going to be more of a zone team, and, you know, he fits perfectly into that system, you know, with what they're going to run. And so I think he would help them from a leadership standpoint, and he would bring he would help the culture, which sucked under Adam Gase. I mean, they need a culture. So, you know, Richard would be really good with that. And they do have a bunch of young corners. I don't know if any of them are any good. I think Bryce Hall has some potential.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm not, you know, I don't think the Jets are sold on any of those guys. So I think they'll draft one pretty high. So yeah, Richard would be at the right price. I would do it, but yeah, it's not my money.
Yeah. There's so many holes to fill with the New York Jets. It'll probably take 2 years until they're in the playoffs. And I like to see that again. The last time I saw the Jets in the playoffs, I was in middle school, 10 years old. And that's,
yeah, it's been a long time.
Long time ago.
Really, it's the longest playoff drought in the league, as you know, right?
Yeah, now. Right now. And who knows how long it can go on for. I don't think it will with the new coach now, but we'll see. Rich Simini, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Is there anything else that you would love to tell to the audience and the people up here at St. John's University?
No, I've been on the St. John's campus a couple of times speaking to a friend of mine teaches a sports marketing class, sports management class, mm-hmm. and I've spoken to a couple of classes. I think I might be doing it this year again. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. So I've been on the campus, love heading out to St. John's. You know, it's a beautiful campus, and I feel like a good vibe when I go there. It's been years since I watched a basketball game there. Yeah. Who knows when we'll ever be allowed back in the
gym. Yeah.
But no, I wish you the best of luck, you know, and thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. We'd love to have you back here. And a last question, actually, I know Syracuse is your alma mater. Would you ever teach a sports journalism class at St. John's if you had the opportunity?
You know, it would be hard to do too. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's my first allegiance is to Syracuse.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I think this will be my fourth year doing the class. So it's not a lot of heavy lifting. Cause like I said, it's a one credit class. We only meet 4 times for 3 hours each. But it is a lot of work, cause you have to grade all the papers. That's, you know, end up putting a lot of time in. So I don't know if I could do it simultaneously. That would be really hard. I'd be very confused on which students go where, but I love teaching, and especially young students. So who knows, someday you never know.
You never know. Rich Simini, again, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Take care. Stay safe. Let's see what the Jets do. Hopefully we're on the right track.
All right. Thanks for having me, Max. Good luck with your show.
Thank you, man.